This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He walks into his house and then there's a surprise party that has been thrown for him because he's been promoted to the guy who's in charge of clearing District 9.
He literally opens, the door is open and he says to his wife, "I think I just shat myself." And then all these people go, "Surprise!"
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome to episode 63 of the FlixWatcher podcast.
Today my guests are Gemma.
Hello.
Annabelle.
Hello.
And as always, I'm with Kobe.
Hi.
And we're here today and we're going to be reviewing the 2009 film District 9. In need of a new pair of headphones to listen to FlixWatcher podcast, we really recommend that you check out studio.com. I've been listening with their Tray model, which has custom wingtip earbuds that stay comfortably in your ear, great for the gym or while you're on the move. If you're interested, have a look at the stars that they've got on their website. If you use the code FlixWatcher, you'll get 15% off any purchase.
Come find us on Twitter, tweet to us, agree with us, disagree. We're at FlixWatcherPod. The website FlixWatcher.tv has full listings of each episode, and subscribe and review us on iTunes.
So all films were available on Netflix at a time recording, guys. Just as a bit of a warning, there is some bad language and there will be spoilers. You have been warned.
Hello and welcome to FlixWatcher. Today, our guests are Gemma and Annabelle, and they're from the Ant Hill podcast. If you would like to say hello to our listeners and tell us a little bit more about the podcast you're involved in.
Hello, I'm Annabelle and I co-produce the Ant Hill podcast with Gemma, who's also on the show.
Hello.
And we both work for a company called The Conversation, which is a news website featuring academic research, getting academics to comment on the news and explain their research for a general public audience. And the Ant Hill podcast is a kind of extension of that. So each month we take a theme and we come at it from different angles and find interesting research that's going on in universities around the world and kind of unearth it and tell stories based on it.
So academic research means anything, pretty much. So
What kind of things do you focus in on? So the themes are pretty loose. The last one we did was sex. So we were talking to academics researching sex robots, but also things like the online sex industry. We've also done, we did an episode last year commemorating the Russian Revolution. Spoke to some historians who have researched what it like smells like and what it sounded like. So we're kind of getting into what was actually like to be on the streets of Petrograd in 1917.
We also do quite a lot of psychology stuff, so kids' psychology, like why your kid finds poo jokes so funny. Done a thing about that. Talked to a developmental psychologist about that. So we just have questions in the office and we get brilliant people to answer them for us.
Cool. We are talking about District 9.
We are indeed. It's quite an old film. I forgot how old it was.
Yeah.
But it's your choice, Gemma. And would you like to tell us why you chose it and give us a brief synopsis?
So yeah, 2009, it is quite old. I haven't seen it since it came out at the cinema. I think I saw it pretty soon after its release. And I've been wanting to rewatch it for a while. So this, I kind of thought that, and it's been on my list of things that I need to see on Netflix. So I thought, oh, I'll choose that. And I wanted to rewatch it because when I first saw it, I was actually working for a magazine about Africa, and I remember, you know, we followed quite closely the reaction to it across Africa, which we might get into a bit later. But
absolutely,
It got really criticised by Nigerians, which we might go into.
I'm going to full disclosure: I'm Nigerian. But
okay, we definitely will get into that then. And I haven't seen it again since that, so I kind of wanted to, and also it's quite a while, so I wondered how it's aged. So that's why I chose it.
What happens?
So it's a sci-fi film set in Johannesburg, which in itself is great as a concept, because mm-hmm. not enough sci-fi films are set, except for right now there's Black Panther, which I haven't seen yet, which I'm dying to see. So what happens? There is, you start off and aliens have landed. Well, not quite. They're hovering above a township in Johannesburg. And the aliens don't kind of swarm and kill everybody. They just stay on their spaceship, and humans have to kind of go up there, and they find that the aliens are malnourished and not doing very well. So they bring them down. I think it's almost like a UN type of agency that like brings them back down to Earth and puts them in a township, which is called District 9. And we start the film and we are following in kind of documentary style a guy called Vickers van der Merwe, who he's got a great name, who's an Afrikaans bureaucrat, like guy who's kind of a pen pusher kind of guy, who's been tasked, and he's been given the job of clearing District 9 they're called prawns. That's the derogatory name that's given to them by I guess the world,
humans.
And he's been given the task of organizing essentially a group of mercenaries who've been hired by the South African government to clear the District 9 and move all of the prawns / aliens out into another district, which I think is called District 10, actually, which looks like a refugee camp with lots of white tents, which is out far away from where they're currently living. And so we kind of follow him as he goes, and it's kind of a really militarized operation with lots of helicopters and guns and just a huge amount of violence. And we go in through the into District 9, and we start meeting these prawns. And strangely, he's able to speak their language, which is never really explained. But
they all seem to understand each other quite well, but they speak their own languages, but everyone understands each other.
Yeah.
Oh, but they've been there for 20 years, haven't they? So I guess after that amount of time.
It's like the opposite of that film, which I've forgotten the name of, where the whole film is about trying to communicate with the aliens, the recent film. Contact.
Not Contact. Arrival.
That's it. It's the kind of opposite of that.
So that's what Arrival's like, the precursor to this. Arrival.
No spoilers, I haven't seen it.
Well, Arrival is about learning how they speak. Okay. So that's the whole film in Arrival.
Okay.
So it's not giving away any spoilers. But then I guess Arrival happens, and then this District 9 is allowed to happen, I guess.
Yeah, so it's 20 years after they've arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah. The spaceship's still hovering there, and we're looking at a picture of that right now. It's still just hovering there above, and no one kind of knows. That's it. There's loads of weapons and loads of kind of kit that they've got, and no one kind of knows how it operates. And then I guess we follow Vickers as he goes on this mission where he's stupidly like using a clipboard to show the aliens their rights and asking them to kind of scrawl on it and agree to be moved. And he gets sprayed by this like liquid fuel thing that they've some clever brought in. Called Christopher, which is great, has been collecting. And it kind of spirals. That's where it really starts. So not too many spoilers. I don't know, we can spoil a bit.
But spoil.
He essentially gets infected and starts becoming a prawn.
I mean, if you don't know anything about this film and you've just listened to that synopsis, you're going to be thinking, what? Prawns? What? I mean, the concept really is quite bonkers, but it's also strangely quite realistic as well, which I think is one of the really interesting things about it.
Mm. I guess it's a massive allegory to the apartheid system in South Africa, and I guess it's all forms of the segregation that's happened there.
And kind of refugees and immigrants, and it's still themes that echo are kind of now, happening now.
Well, it's based on District 6, which is an area of Cape Town that got cleared in the 60s, where basically just 30,000 people were living in central Cape Town, and kind of it was declared a white area, and the whole area was cleared over a course of kind of 5 or 6 years, not quite like this. They were all moved out to townships on the edge of town, and the land is still actually empty today because no one is, well, some of it is built on, very little bit of it is built on, but there's still a massive land retribution problem, compensation claim on it. So it's kind of really current still.
So how did it compare, Gemma, from first viewing to second viewing?
I had forgotten that it was filmed almost in a documentary style, which I was kind of quite pleased with when I watched it again. Because I remember it being really raw and kind of in your face, and it's really violent. And I'd forgotten how violent it is. But kind of some of it's just ridiculous violence towards the end, where they're using the alien weapons and people are just kind of exploding. So I think that shocked me. I'm really glad I watched it again. I think it's still incredibly relevant. But I do also, having watched it again, realize just quite why so many people, particularly Nigerians, we'll get onto that, were just so outraged by it.
Helen and Annabelle, what are your thoughts?
Great film. I had also seen it ages ago, shortly after it came out.
In the cinema or on a small screen?
I think on a small screen, but I can't remember because it was so long ago. I just remembered that I really liked it and I was up for watching it again. And yeah, like you just said, Gemma, and you mentioned Helen as well, it's so many themes still really relevant, particularly, well, like in Europe today with the
refugee crisis.
Yeah, so relevant.
It's great. And thanks for bringing it to us again so I could revisit it. I saw it at the cinema and then I think I'd probably seen it maybe at least once, maybe twice between sort of then and now. But it's such a clever film and it manages to do so many things in that it's intelligent. It's kind of a little bit gory as well, which I do quite like. There's quite a lot of humour in there as well every now and again. And there's real characters, particular Christopher, the prawn we get to kind of connect with. And the found footage thing was kind of a thing that was going around at the time. There was quite a few films that were sort of doing the fake thing. I think it was something around that time, but it still holds up really, really well. And the CGI, I think, is pretty flawless. It doesn't look like it was made nearly 10 years ago, which it's great.
When you suggested this, I was kind of rubbing my hands together because I haven't seen it since the cinema either. And I was kind of thinking, well, let's see how this holds up because a lot of CGI just looks typically wank after a few years. And I mean, the high watermark one that still held up is Jurassic Park, still looks pretty great after all this time. This was made for a very low budget at the time, and I thought it was going to fall apart at the seams on rewatching, but it just didn't. I noticed a few tricks in terms of a lot of the time when you had more prawns on the screen, it was done in a very kind of TV-esque lower grade quality, so it's like you're watching on a TV screen, so maybe they didn't have to render the graphics so much. But Christopher, when he's on the screen just by himself, it looks, you know, fantastic. I really like this film, and I think you talked about a documentary, but there's a lot of themes in it, but also it's kind of a lot of different styles of filming one thing.
Yeah,
that mockumentary, it's almost like mockumentary at the start. It's not just documentary. It's like Charlton Copley is a very good comedic actor and dramatic actor in one film, and a lot of it's really quite funny but like dark at the same time.
I quite like the academics. I think they're academics, aren't they?
Yeah.
The talking heads. Yeah. There was one particular guy.
Very
I just
serious.
Thought it was great. Yeah. You can just imagine him laughing a lot when he was saying it.
Conspiracy theories and things like that. Mm. And there's all these kind of sort of flashbacks. You've got characters that are kind of in the real time documentary, and then you kind of flash forward and one of them's in prison gear, and it's all, so like, what's going on? I think the first time you watch it, you're definitely a bit like,
it's bonkers.
This is fictional, and it's, you kind of have to let go. But yeah, this is made to look like it's real, but it's not real.
I like the way you just jump right into it too. There's no like preparation for this is what you're about to see.
So it starts mockumentary, and what other genres do we pick up in? There's the sci-fi in there. There's a bit of gore. It's not really horror. I guess it's a bit of body horror, isn't it?
Body horror, and you know the weapon destruction is pretty good. But then it's also kind of a little bit kind of cartoony violence as well, in the way that they're just kind of exploding people here and there. Mm. And there's a particular scene early on where sort of one of the troops' arms gets ripped off.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, it's a little bit funny as well, because he only makes a joke of it, and everything's kind of like a little bit of a joke.
And as he starts changing into the alien, he almost kind of, he walks into his house, and then there's a surprise party that has been thrown for him because he's been promoted to the guy who's in charge of clearing District 9, which is just, I mean, that's comic in itself.
He literally opens, the door is open, and he says to his wife, "I think I just shat myself." And then all these people go, "Surprise!" Yeah, and that's how
and his boss is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Warning him that he has to do a good job.
And all, yeah. in that
and
scene, all
he over his cake.
In that scene, all he's trying to do is get to the toilet so he can check if he shat himself, and then he pukes over his cake, which is quite grim, actually.
Yeah, it is grim. It's good. It's kind of like if you like The Fly, then you'll love this.
Yes. I hadn't seen The Fly when I originally saw this film, but I've now seen the original Fly, not the remake.
Oh, I like the Jeff Goldblum one.
The original one is, I saw it on a big screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
black and white.
Yeah. It's watch it. It's. I almost watched it as like a comedy film, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And that one has just got a fly head on it.
Yeah. It's great.
Well, the Goldblum one is great, if you like.
I like the Goldblum one a lot. I like the Goldblum one a lot. Charlton Copley.
He's great in this. This was his breakout role, wasn't it?
Had he done anything before of note?
Not really, because then I think straight after this, didn't he do the A-Team? Yeah. And that was kind of propelled him a little bit. And then I kind of lost track of him a little bit after
so
that.
So he does a few Neil Blomkamp. I think whenever Neil Blomkamp does stuff, he's like, "Charlton, come along, son. Let's get your South African accent. Dial it up to 9. But I really like Charlton. I've got a lot. When he was announced as Howling Mad Murdoch on the A-Team, I thought, yeah, that's actually a great shout. If he can do an American accent semi-convincingly, I'm down with that.
I think what he brings to it is kind of a real sort of human element, because at the start he is kind of a bit of a dick, and he's still quite a bit of a dick quite near to the end, but he does, you can see the development, and kind of as he becomes less human, he becomes more human in his actions. And it could have kind of been done quite heavy-handed, but I don't know, something about his performance and his bonding with Christopher that gives it a real sort of real feeling.
Yeah, because there's a few times where if he wasn't a dick with Christopher, then things could have still turned out quite happily. He may have had to go on the ship for 3 years and come back, and Christopher would have fixed him, but what happened that in the aftermath wouldn't have had to happen.
So, yeah, I mean, you're like screaming at the screen in that moment, being like, "What are you doing? You like you're ruining everything."
Yeah.
But equally, that's almost one of the most human things to do, in that he was just incredibly selfish and irrational and kind of flailing about as he turned into an alien.
He's the center of this whole film, and he carries it. He's, as you say at the beginning, he's a bit
of a doofus.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you kind of can't come out of this film and not feeling sorry for him, and wanting there to be a sequel, which I think there's been lots of talk of.
Lots of talk.
But never. Yeah. And seeing what happens.
What do we make of, I mean, the person I hate most actually in this film is probably his father-in-law.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dislikable characters in here. You've got the captain who's hell-bent on just destroying his prawns given every slight.
Just destroying anything, really. Yes, I reckon he'd shoot anyone.
Yeah.
His ending is fantastic. Like, what happens to him?
What happens then?
He gets prawned.
That's exactly right. He gets prawned. He gets torn to pieces by like prawns. 5 prawns.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing in the film, is that the prawns are stronger than humans, but they're just totally disorganized. And, well, I guess, I mean, they're just, you know, from a position of weakness. And yeah, it's in a lot of ways, you're like, why aren't they rising up? And,
yeah, they're physically stronger, but
I think they've sort of given up. Basically, their spaceship is sort of dead, and they've got no way of getting back to it. They've got no supplies, and they're just kind of resigned to the fact that this is what they've got now. I mean, they do love cat food, and you know, they sort of have a relationship with the Nigerians, which kind of works for both sides.
I think they're meant to be like kind of worker. They're the worker part of the alien species, and they're not meant to have any kind of get up and go and enough now to get themselves back onto the spaceship.
So do you think Christopher was...
he's like the brains of the operation.
Yeah. Do you think he was a high up... he was probably one of the captains or one of the officers, I guess, in that fleet?
Maybe, or he just kind of... over 20 years, he was one who had a bit more initiative
than everyone else. Before we go on to talk about the Nigerians and the
serious stuff.
The serious one, well, I guess, what insight you've had recently. The cat food stuff was a bit weird. but it was one when Charlto, Vickers van der Merwe, when I was in South Africa, name. I met someone with the surname van der Merwe. And apparently he says it's like as common as Smith, but I don't think he is. But when he eats the cat food, that's when it's like, oh shit, that's him.
He's got properly the taste
turning
now, yeah.
It's properly turning into prawn, fucking prawn.
When you say to people that you are watching this film, they just say, you fucking prawn at you the whole time, don't they? It's the first thing everyone's, I've said it to like 10 people this week. Like, yep, that's what they've said.
when I watched this the first time, one of my good friends, he said this, yeah, it's a comedy. And I was like, It has comedic moments, and I guess they are kind of set out at the start, aren't they? But towards the end, it's just like, this is a bit dark. But there's hope. I guess it's just different genres in one film. I think it's very rare for that to happen, even that kind of setup
successfully
is like,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. So backlash.
So it had. Particularly strong backlash by Nigerians, so perhaps I should explain. So the Nigerians are...
In the film
are these... they live in District 9. I think they're basically the only non-aliens to live in District 9. Mm. And they are kind of traders, and they basically sell meat to the...
To the prawns.
Also love their weapons. And then there's this one particular character called Obin Sanjo, which is essentially the same name as the former president of Nigeria, whose name was Obisanjo. And he is kind of a like semi-paralyzed kind of Nigerian kingpin. And he likes to eat the aliens because he thinks he's then going to get their powers, and he wants to be able to use all the weapons. Because the weapons are really like a big deal in the film.
Yeah, because the weapons are super powerful, but humans can't use them. They can only be used by the aliens.
Yeah, but I do think there's an inconsistency there. It's like, why wouldn't the aliens have used them to like get out of their situation?
I guess that's part of they're physically stronger, and they could, if they rallied around, as Animal was saying, if they got the... Maybe most of the weapons were... No, but they had access to the weapons.
Yeah, I still don't quite understand why they didn't use the weapons. That. Yeah. No, I tried not to, but yeah.
I think it's just that, what you were saying before about they didn't have the nous, they're disorganised sort of worker aliens.
Mm. And also they're not really bothering anyone. It's only when people bother them. So they're kind of happy eating cat food and...
Surviving.
Yeah, it's only when really they're attacked that they tend to retaliate.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they're quite peaceful. I don't know what they would gain from killing everyone, because then they'd lose, I don't know, their access to cat food maybe.
That's true. So yeah, going back to the Nigerians. So the film was banned in Nigeria.
Really?
And it also came at a time when there'd been a huge amount of xenophobic violence in South Africa, which sadly still kind of happens now, and particularly in townships. And I think this was actually filmed basically in, I think it's filmed in Soweto. So it's filmed at a time when there's just a huge amount of tension anyway. And then you basically have a film in which the Nigerians are seen as this kind of evil group of people who are taking advantage of the aliens and doing, like, they use... This almost like black magic kind of, they use the word muti, I think, which is, it's just, there's just so much which is offensive to Nigerians, I think. And maybe you could say, well, it's just a parable, and you know, and I think, I don't know actually what Blomkamp said about it after that, but...
No, Blomkamp.
Yeah, I don't know how he justified that and whether he apologised, but it did cause a huge amount of offence.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was fully banned. This film is not 100% true. Well, it's not true to life, but
Yeah. I thought it was interesting because they, to me, they were just like the gangsters in the same way that in other films you get like the Italian mob or like the Essex mob or the gypsies or the mob kind of thing.
They're just trying to get, they're trying to use their position to get more and more power, and the guns give them more power and more access to more money and more, just they want to make more money out of these.
It was fun how they were more powerful than the kind of UN operation in the film. So when the sort of, well, it's sort of a UN operation slash arms company.
Yeah.
So the company that Vickers worked for, and that his
MUN.
Yeah,
I don't think he actually works for MNU.
Okay.
He works for like the UN-y type organization.
Arm of them. Yeah,
MNU,
so it's like,
are like the, they're called like Multinational United or something.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're doing all the kind of aid side of things, but they're also just trying to get their hands on the aliens' weapons and work out how to use them. And that's kind of one of the interesting subplots. And they're trying to smuggle Vickers out so that they can basically experiment on him and work out how he became an alien. And whilst they're trying to do that, the Nigerians, who also have the same aim in the in District 9, basically kidnap him and ambush the whole army train.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you're right there in terms of the, my point of view is that they are the Italians probably wouldn't have taken offense if it was like, hey, these are the wise guys in this part, and they're taking advantage and buying the guns and selling the drugs to the people. That's kind of true to life.
I think it might have just been, not just, but it was the particular moment. So like
the timing,
so 2000 and it's been out in 2009.
Yeah.
And in 2008, there'd just been a huge wave of xenophobic violence in South Africa, where people, you know, people were killed and things.
So, against Nigerians?
Not specifically against Nigerians, okay. But I think, yeah, it was against basically anyone who wasn't South African.
Oh, right. I didn't know about that.
And it happened, yeah, just, I don't know if it was happening as they were filming it, but it was definitely in the, it was definitely in the context of this being filmed, and it's still going on. Yeah. Like,
okay, I didn't know that at all. And I know, I mean, generally with the Nigerian politics, the General Obasanjo is not someone that's well liked, but he's more of a dictator. So if there's an easy kind of piss take on his name, that could quite easily just say, I'm not going to allow this film into the country. So it could just, not really a dictatorship, but it's a military rule. It was a military rule at that kind of time. So that could be why they just kind of went, not going to let this film into the country.
Yeah, I don't think he was president at the time. He was like a former, he was the former president.
So good luck, Jonathan, by then.
Yeah, it was, exactly. Yeah, but I think maybe it was just a moment when people were going to take offense.
Sure.
And looking back on it, you can just see why. But I don't think that it should take away from... I still really enjoy the film. Like, I still think it's a really interesting film, and it's just, there's so much that it says about apartheid South Africa, which I find really, I've actually been to District 6, this place where, that it's kind of not based on, but the idea comes from, and it's just so, so powerful. And they're like, the geographies of it too is just really interesting. So you like take a whole group of people and you move them to an area where they basically have nothing. It's still so relevant.
Hey, Kobe.
Hey, Helen.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Looks like you've got some new headphones today.
Yeah, my head weighs a lot more than it normally does in the morning.
And where are they from?
These are from Studio. These are the Regent brand on-ear headphones, and they're super cool. 24 hours battery life, and they sound amazing. It's all about the sound. Who cares about the battery life?
I mean, the battery life is amazing.
That is true. I could just be listening to Radiohead on loop for 24 hours. I could listen to Blur on loop for 24 hours, and it wouldn't run out. Or like Jay-Z on loop for 24 hours.
And they're wireless as well?
Or The Strokes on loop for 24 hours.
Or anything else on loop for 24 hours.
And yeah, they're wireless and connect super simple to my iPhone or anything like that. And you can get 15% discount, Helen, if you go to studio.com if you want to buy some.
Ooh.
Just use the offer code FlixWatcher, as in our podcast name. That's how you tie it all together in a sponsored post like this. Should we move on to the scores?
Let's do it. So this is The Patented. Well, we haven't really done that yet, but...
No. Cost a lot of money. I looked into it.
Don't steal our scoring system.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
So this is our special scoring system. So out of five, you can have a decimal point. And the first one up is recommendability. And we'll start with you, Gemma, as it was your choice.
I would definitely recommend this to everybody. Like, if you haven't seen it, you should see it. I mean, if you don't like gory sci-fi, you might need to kind of watch it slightly between your fingers. But yeah, I mean, yeah, 4.5. I'm going to go high.
High.
I think everyone will take something away from it.
Annabelle?
I would go 5. I'm doing away with my former lack of conviction and saying, I like this film and people should watch it.
That's good enough. I'm going to go 5. I can't fault this film. It is great. If you haven't seen it, then seriously, you should definitely watch it. It's brilliant.
I'm going to go 4.75. There's a small eye roll there.
I mean, I'll give you 4.7. 4.75?
I don't see the need to have clear, distinct, you know, I can have as many decimal places. I'm an engineer by trade. So decimal places.
I mean, three quarters. If you said 0.65, I might have taken objection. But
I might throw 6.5 in there. We've still got the whole scoring system to go. Let's see what happens, Annabelle. There are people, the gore might put people off. There's the subject matter might put some people off. But I think it's a great film.
Also, the thing is, it is quite a lot of fun to watch.
You do really get
into it. Watching it, I was thinking, God, it's been a while since I've seen a film like this that I've really got into and just gone along with it, even though it's pretty batshit. But also, it's like, this is kind of actually happening. Yeah. And this happened, but it's really bizarre. It's a real rarity to achieve everything it sets out to be completely relevant, be incredibly entertaining, and still feel like it was made yesterday.
And have impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Repeat viewing score.
You should see it again. Yeah. I definitely think I took more away from it. I'd forgotten that it was a documentary, and I really enjoyed rediscovering.
It's
filmed, as you said, filmed in lots of different ways.
So you watched it. I think you were like myself. You watched it twice, once when it first came out, and then 9 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you feel you should have watched it more in that time?
I could definitely watch it another time. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily watch it like every year, but. And it would be interesting, as you say, to watch it again in like another 10 years to see how the CGI stands up then. But I didn't really think about how old the CGI was. It didn't strike me. So.
I'm one of those panicky people. I'm looking forward to watching Avatar to see how crap. No, I'm not going to look. I can't go back. Yeah.
So I might say 4.5 again. I would definitely watch it another time.
So this is a higher score than I thought, given they said you wouldn't watch it every year. So what's your most frequently watched film? Or do you watch films more than once? Generally?
Only when I was a kid I used to watch films all over loads of times when I was a kid.
Infinite time as a kid, and also the fact that just the film's
got the one video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No Netflix.
No Netflix.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's we perhaps watch fewer films again than we might have done because of that very reason, because of Netflix.
There's so much to consume and so little time. Why would I watch the same thing?
Yeah, because you used to have to get on your bike, go up the hill to the video store with pocket money that you'd saved up.
Go down to Blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got is Titanic. Oh, waste of time.
Yeah, they might actually not even have the film you want to watch. It might be all out.
Yeah. They've just got the case, and then you go to look behind it, and someone's put 3 men and a baby behind Fight Club.
And you're sounds like a very specific situation that happened to you. Would you not take up? I mean, what's wrong with 3 men and a baby?
I've seen it before.
And you don't want to pay twice for it. Annabelle, repeat viewing score.
3.5 for me. I don't watch films more than once that often, so I would regard that as quite high.
Helen.
I go 4.
I don't know how many times I've seen it. I've definitely seen it more than once at the cinema. I must have seen it again. And yeah, I'd probably watch it again. Yeah. Not like tomorrow, but stands up to repeat viewing.
So 4?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 2.65 because I want to put the 6.5 in there. I think I'd definitely watch it again. Like you were saying, Gemma, I wouldn't watch it every year, but I'd be quite happy to watch it if a good moment arose. But I think there's a lot of other films I want to watch, but I certainly wouldn't ever say no to watching again.
I'd watch it again if he decided that they were going to make the sequel.
Okay. What, to revisit it?
Totally, yeah.
Small screen score.
So I watched it half on a television and half on my computer. So that went from a slightly bigger screen to an even smaller screen. And I think there are some scenes, like particularly when you can see the spaceship hovering above the landscape, which I probably will be better on the big screen. Yeah. And there's some like ET-esque moments where they're like going up to, you know, the spaceship. But so this is if it's like, so I, it's okay. Well, it's okay on a small screen, but I don't think it, perhaps, it, you know, there are bits where it wouldn't.
It's okay on a small screen, but a cinema's bigger screen still is the better place for you to watch it.
So I might just go right in the middle of that. Yeah, okay. Like 3. Yeah.
Annabelle.
Yeah, I agree. It's still fun to watch on a small screen, but it is quite a big action film, and I think it would be a lot better on a big screen. So I'll go with 3 as well.
Helen.
I don't know if I'm becoming more conditioned to watching films on like TV size TV, but I thought it was all right on the TV. I didn't think, maybe because I've already seen it in a cinema and I've had that big screen experience.
Yeah.
And I quite like the thing I liked the most about that was kind of the collective viewing, because for everyone in there, it was the first time and it was like, what's going on? That kind of value. So that's good. But I don't think if you've already seen it before at the cinema and you watch it again, you're not going to go, oh, well, that was crap. I think you'll still enjoy it as much. And if you haven't seen it before, I think watching it on a laptop will be a bit crap. So if you can plug it into a TV size, then it'll be fine. So I'm going to give it a 4. And also it's one of those films that it is surprisingly quite old. So if you've always wanted to see it and you didn't realise it's on Netflix, go and watch it now.
Great opportunity to rewatch it. I'm going to go for 3.65. Like yourself, I think... I actually watched it on an iPad this time around, just because I was travelling a lot.
And you'd had the big experience already.
Big screen experience, and the special effects, even on a small screen, you could still tell they were working, but I don't think, apart from at the end, when there's a big kind of fight, which I guess, it did kind of jump the shark a bit, when it went into a big bit of a fight scene a bit and became a bit like...
Iron Man.
Yeah, kind of Iron Man-y when he's got the visor
glitching
out, and stuff like that, but it goes into it is almost like a superhero film at the end with the Iron Man, so there's another genre thing. Apart from that, I don't think it really needed the big screen.
No, and also because like some of the way it's edited together, for some of it's obviously taken from sort of handheld camera style either. The quality of the film in some places isn't great, but its intention is it's not great, so it does kind of work
with that
at the mid-level screen size.
Engagement score, Gemma.
I'm going to go high. I think because it's a chase, right? It basically turns into a chase film where you're like, and the music is like drumming and just quite like high temp, like getting your heart racing kind of music. So you kind of want to see what's going to happen to him. You want to see whether you want to see how quickly he turns into the prawn.
Yeah.
And you want to see whether he's going to be able to stop it. It's an action film, and in that way. So I think in terms of engagement, I'd say quite high. Yeah, 4.5. I'm going to go, and I like the ending a lot.
We could talk about the ending.
So the ending. shall I say what happens at the end?
You can say it. Yeah.
He turns completely into a prawn.
Mm.
We think. It's him, and he's like creating a flower for his wife that he has left on her doorstep, which is why I think everyone thinks that there will be a sequel. Or could be a sequel. There could easily be a sequel.
I guess the time to tie in nicely with Sequel Icarus would have been 3 years later.
It's been longer than 3 years, yeah.
But well, you know, they can just say it's 3 years after.
Yeah, he's not made that many great films recently, has he? So
Elysium.
Elysium and then...
Was he Chappie?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I've not seen Chappie yet.
No. Well, I felt a bit cheated at the end that there hadn't been a sequel.
Oh, really?
Because I'd kind of forgotten the exact ending and the fact that Christopher gets back up to the spaceship and manages to fly off and he's basically promising to come back to wreak vengeance on behalf of his people.
Mm.
And what happened to him?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Engagement score for you.
Yeah, my engagement was high as well. I'd say, I don't know why, but I'm going to say 4.
Okay. Helen?
I'm also going to go 4.5. Had this been my first time watching it, it probably would have been a 5, but because I kind of knew what was coming, I was kind of like, did a little bit of like, who are these other side characters? Mm. What have they done since? I did a little bit.
Has anyone done anything of note since?
No.
Just Charlton.
Yeah.
And Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 4.65.
One day, were you going to say, just to annoy me?
4.65. I think this is great. And I think testament to the fact that it's always shifting genres. It's always shifting kind of perspective. Things are changing all the time.
It's never dull, is it?
Not at all.
You're never like, oh, you're like, what's happening next? What's going to happen next? You don't even know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Because it's so...
You don't know which bit of him is going to turn into the prawn
is
next.
Is he turning into a prawn? Oh, he is actually turning into a prawn. Okay. Oh, is this happening? And things are blowing up and it just goes in so many different ways. And it's seamless. So if you're not paying attention, then you're just kind of left behind away. That gives us 4.075.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah. Where did it lose marks then?
I think because someone gave it a 2.65 for repeat viewing.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair. That's well, that's a great score to give for repeat. Yeah.
Well, we've all got high praise for it. Shall we see what the peeps of Twitter...
Let's see what the peoples of Twitter say.
So if you follow us on Twitter... When we are doing a recording, we will put a little shout out with a little GIF, so you'll know where it is, and we'll ask you to basically give your 5 stars and a short review. So let's see what the people have been saying.
Gemma, do you want to read the tweets from those guys at the top?
So this is from the Countdown Pod, a fantastic sci-fi actioneer with a social subtext that resonates. District 9 is so good you won't even notice. It changes genres on you from a mockumentary to said sci-fi action along the way. And then they gave it a 4.5 stars.
Cool. Annabelle.
So Rusted Robot Podcast said, definitely a 5-star film. Next to Moon, it's the best film of 2009. Great story, frenetic action, out of this world ideas, a must watch.
Good shout out for Moon.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking, would I watch Moon more than this? I'm not sure I would, actually.
I watched Moon again recently, and it's amazing, but it's not one that I'd probably watch a lot.
Yeah, now you know what the story happens.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Rockwell's amazing in it, and it is incredibly moving, but it's not as much fun as this.
Do you want to say the next? You can say the next two, because they're quite short.
Yeah, we'll go with these ones. So this is Skip to the End. Absolute masterpiece, 5 stars. All day long. Big fans there. And then it's What Were They Thinking at WWTT Podcast. 5 stars. Absolute classic film. I love Neil Blomkamp.
Death by Film, at Death by Film Pod. 5 stars. Incredible movie. Been years since I watched it, but I remember being blown away when I saw it. I think that's what I kind of thought when I first saw it. That's awesome, and I haven't seen it for a while, so thanks for bringing it back to me. I'll take it back to you, Gemma, for the last tweet.
This is from Jennifer and Patrick at Wine for Two Podcast. This is not my kind of movie, but I've seen it 25 times, own several copies, and cry every time I watch it. It's great. 5 stars.
25 times? Wow.
That's
yeah.
a lot. Did anyone else cry?
No, I didn't.
I didn't cry. Were you?
Did I? No, but now you mention it, I may have nearly cried watching it previously. It's quite emotional.
Mm. I think I might have teared up over the father-son dynamic between
Christopher
and his son.
Oh, Christopher's son was and fucking dude.
Yeah, he saved the day.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. He or she. Oh, yeah. No, so it's a son, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I like that little kid.
Like very cute.
Kid alien. Guys, tell us where we can find you online.
So we are, if you catch us on theconversation.com, so we're at The Conversation UK. I am on Where's Gemma on Twitter.
And I'm at Kablai.
And you might have to spell that.
Yeah. That's K-A-B-L-I-G-H.
Cool. We'll link to you guys when this episode comes out.
And our podcast is called The Anthill.
Yes.
We didn't say that again, did I? Did I say that again?
Why is it called The Anthill?
So our tagline is unearthing stories from the world of academia. That's it, really. And I think when we designed it, we thought A would make us feature at the top of alphabetical lists.
Never.
Maybe.
Yeah. Also, we didn't want to just be called The Conversation Podcast because there are others called that.
And that would be boring.
Yeah.
And you maybe get to use the ant emoji at some point.
Oh, a lot. Don't like how it appears on Twitter, though.
Mm. Yeah.
Goes it's
bit,
funny.
It's a bit weird how some of them just render differently. Just like, I'm not happy with that one. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers, guys. You were just listening to the latest episode of Flicks Watch It Podcast. Thank you to Brendan Russell for his sublime editing skills. Mighty people for the tunes you can hear right now. Please do come to iTunes and find us, like, subscribe, share with your friends. Find us on Twitter @FlixWatcherPod and our website, flixwatcher.tv.